Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Prebbitt. And we're going to just jump headfirst into today's episode with covering Serena Williams promoting Roe, aka weight loss drugs. And we're going to talk all things nuance. So I literally, in this moment, just pressed post. I put up a reel covering my thoughts. I need to be better at like paring down and just thinking about things, like putting things into more digestible pieces. Maybe I should have done like a series because there's just so much nuance to this. Because the post I just put up was like freaking 5 minutes long. And I know that Instagram is not going to push out a piece of content that's long. And I really want people to see it. But the great thing is, if you are listening to this podcast, that means you clicked this because you want to know the nuance behind it. And I'm very, very excited to be able to bring that here. And so I just thank you for your time and for listening and for caring and listening to the pod. But before we get into today's episode, I am going to share our Fine Food Freedom win of the week. I do this every single week on the podcast, and I think it's important for you to do this for yourself too, is like look for wins. And wins are things that like they may seem so small now, but like if you look at yourself 10 years ago and we're like, oh my God, I would have never thought this way, or I would have never celebrated this. And it shows how far you've come in your journey of intuitive eating and making peace with food and body. So this is a DM that somebody sent me that said, "Hi, I've been just following your page and it has helped me so much. The other day, I found myself thinking about how yummy toast and Nutella sounded, and I immediately followed it. And that thought by, too bad I can't have it. But then I realized I could have it, and I did have it, and it was delicious." So thank you so much to this person who sent this in. And I think this is such a simple, perfect example about how when you make peace with food, you are able to eat anything, like unconditional permission to eat. And although that can be very scary in the beginning of your journey, once you start to realize, oh my gosh, I can have anything I want, then we start to enter that next phase of exploration. And what do I want? And what does sound good? And what does give me satisfaction? And last week, I actually did a podcast on how to build like a delicious and satisfying lunch with like back to school kind of theme. And that's a really fun listen if you're like, what do I actually like to eat? Because when we're entrenched in diet culture, we are so caught up in like what we're air quotes allowed to eat that we don't even know what we like to eat. I can't tell you how many clients I've sat with in session. They're like, I'll be like, what do you like? Like, what do you enjoy? And they're like, I don't know. And that's part of the fun of our counseling is figuring out like, what do we like to eat? Excuse me while I take a water break. I just chugged my iced coffee before this, so I'm parched. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I like to eat. I only know what I'm allowed to eat, or how many calories, or how many portions, or whatever. Please know that we have a team of registered dietitians. We accept health insurance. You can work with us one-on-one. Virtual nutrition counseling. Our dietitians are certified intuitive eating counselors. They are incredible weight inclusive dietitians. And if you have not already, check your benefits by clicking the link in the show notes below. Anywhere on Instagram, TikTok, you can find that link. And best part is, if you don't have coverage, we gift you our membership, the Fine Food Freedom membership, a month completely free. So that's 3 live support calls where you can talk to our dietitians, you can talk to the certified intuitive eating counselors, you can ask your questions, you can get support. So really, either you have free sessions with us or you get a free month of support. You tell me which one you want. Anyways, click the link in the show notes below. We would absolutely love to support you. Now let's get into why you're here today, right? You clicked on this episode because you've seen Serena Williams, probably at this point, it is all over my feed. And that's probably because I'm talking about it. I've engaged with it. I've watched it. So now I'm just being fed these ads over and over. They're just serving them to me. And it's wild. I talk about this in the Instagram post, but like when I first saw it, my initial gut reaction was like, fuck, no, no, Serena, no. And it's like, she's the greatest of all time. Like I put her up there with like a lot of people probably know Alona Mar, who she was on the US women's rugby team at the Olympics. And she's created this incredible platform. She went on Dancing with the Stars and she is all about, her hashtag is Beast Beauty Brains. And she's all about being an absolute fucking beast, like while playing rugby and leaning into her femininity and being beautiful and showing that like you can have a strong body. You don't have to be this, you don't have to shrink yourself to be beautiful, right? And now I also want to acknowledge something I didn't get into on Instagram post is I'm talking about like residing in his body. I think something that I failed to mention in my Instagram post, which I'm upset about because I think this is huge, is like we're talking about Serena Williams' bodies. I use the example of like Alona Mar's bodies, and they have very distinctly athletic body types, right? We're not even like, when I say larger body, like we are not talking about the body type that those would classify themselves as fat or reclaim the word fat. So when I use the word fat on here, I'm using it as a neutral descriptor, right? Like a fat body, a thin body. To me, those are neutral. Now, I know in the world that we live in, when we use the word fat, a lot of times people have a negative connotation tied to that, or they think of it of an insult because of how diet culture has written that word, right? Or used that word. Now, why this is important is because when Serena Williams, who has to me, like when I picture her, I think of her as one of the strongest, like greatest of all time athletes, right? So if she is saying, my body is not, I am better when I'm smaller, what message not only is that sending to all the other athletic body types, but what message is that sending to people who reside in fat bodies or larger bodies? Like, it's wild, but huge, but there is so much nuance that I want to get into, and I have it laid out in bullet points here. So I apologize. I'm going to be like, ping, ping, ping. Like my brain, I feel like is just pinging and I'm trying to connect it all. It's going to be all over the place. I ain't perfect, but we need to talk about it. Okay. So first let's name my privilege. Okay. If you've never seen me before on social and you're only a listener, I am a thin white woman. And that's important to note because I have very different lived experience from a Black woman or from anyone who resides in a marginalized community, whether that be race, disability, size, you name it. Okay. So we know that Black women, specifically Black women that reside in larger bodies, face systemic devaluation, discrimination, oppression. And that is so important for me to state as a white woman carrying this conversation. There are incredible dietitians and body image therapists that are not only Black women, but also reside in a larger body or recovery. And I think their perspectives are so important on this topic, and I would highly, highly recommend. And I will link some of them in the show notes because I think going to their work is so important. Okay. Now I want to also state, huge disclaimer, body autonomy. Say it with me, body autonomy. Serena Williams has body autonomy to do whatever the fuck she wants. This is not an anti-Serena Williams podcast. I am not talking bad about her. She can, if she wants to do intentional weight loss, that is her. Like that's like you do you. And the same goes for you listening to this. This is not me trying to convince you like not to do intentional weight loss, not to do intentional weight loss drugs. I'm simply here as a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and certified personal trainer, stating my thoughts and opinions on how this affects society seeing Serena Williams promoting weight loss drugs. And I think that's really important to state. So let's talk about Serena's influence, right? She's the greatest of all time. She's one of the most influential female athletes, not to mention a Black female athlete. She holds so much power and she has an immense amount of pressure on her. Right? When you are the greatest of all time, you have people watching you, your every move. Also, being a female in the limelight, female athlete, female celebrity, all of the above, if you just go back and like Google articles on her, the amount of headlines about her body, like, or then just comments, right? Like if you see pictures of her, like the comments of like when she was in a larger body, like, oh my gosh, look at her cellulite. Like how can she be so good when she's fat? Like you can literally find these comments. And then once she started residing in a thinner body or like intentionally losing weight, people are being like, ew, you're a skeleton. Like you used to be powerful, right? Like you can't win when you're a female in the limelight like her. And so I want to state like, she has such an immense influence on the world, but she also has an immense amount of pressure on her. And so going back to my true like reaction, when I saw her ad, my first thing I thought was fuck, because I saw her through a counselor's perspective first of being like, oh, sweet girl. Like if you're going to come out and promote that just speaks volumes to how she feels about her body. So like I don't come at it from anger. I don't come at it from frustration. I come at it from like, oh, so much empathy. Now I have hundreds of people blowing up my DMs that are angry, that are frustrated, and those emotions are valid. Like you're allowed to feel however you feel about this. I definitely like years and years ago when I was newer into the journey of, you know, making peace with food and body, like when I used to see people like this come out, I would be angry. But the more you learn and the more you peel back the layers, the more you recognize that like all of us are subject to diet culture, right? Like none of us are immune to it, especially those that are celebrities, especially those that are athletes. And so now it's so much easier for me to pull from empathy. And I looked back on my feed because I did a full breakdown when Oprah Winfrey came out in support of Ozempic. And I think that one was less surprising to people because Oprah Winfrey was like the face of Weight Watchers and was so much so like a yo-yo dieter throughout the years and like talking about intentional weight loss. So I think that one, like, although it was people were felt discouraged, felt like, oh, she should do better. It's like, again, the same goes for Oprah. Like she's a woman, she's in the limelight, she's a Black woman. All of these things matter. And I have so much empathy because again, as a counselor, I look at that and I'm like, that just speaks volumes to how they think about themselves and the emphasis that they place on being in a smaller body. Because I think about belief systems here, right? Like if you're listening to my podcast, chances are you are trying to make peace with food and body. And so you're after the belief system that your body is the least interesting thing about you. You know that weight does not equate to health. But when I'm looking at Serena Williams, when I'm looking at Oprah Winfrey, I know that our belief systems do not align. So this is not about me bashing them and saying like, ew, how could you do that? You're such a bad person. From a counselor's perspective, I'm like, no shit, they're promoting this. Like, they genuinely believe that if they're in a smaller body, they're better. If they're in a smaller body, they're more worthy. If they're in a smaller body, people will like them more. If they're in a smaller body, they probably also relate health to that, right? And so once you're in this intuitive eating kind of food freedom world long enough, you can see that a lot easier. And so it's less triggering from that perspective and more like, no shit, like no shit. And it doesn't make it right. And I think where there's so much nuance here, right? Is like Serena Williams, let's go back to Serena and pull away from Oprah. When we look at Serena, she is not the face of the body positivity movement. She is not, it's not her responsibility to tell people that all bodies are good bodies and that, you know, like reclaiming the word fat and all of these things. That's not her responsibility. And she has so much influence. So that's why it's so disappointing and so hard when someone that you look up to and when you think this person has achieved greatness and they're such a high achiever, they have everything you could want, and they don't think their body is good enough. Fuck. And then we think of, like, I think of myself as a mom to two little girls. Any parent, right? You're like, okay, if this is someone that my daughter is looking up to, if this is someone that our children are looking up to, and these are the messages that they're spreading, that's where it can be so discouraging, because then it creates really difficult conversations. Now, my girls aren't little enough to understand any of this yet, but if you have kids that watch these commercials and are like, why is Serena getting a shot? Does she have a boo-boo? Like, what is she talking about? Like, it creates really hard conversations that you have to have with your children at a young age. And that is valid. And then also, like, one of her ads was talking, I heard her say, like, when I couldn't lose the baby weight. And I'm like, fuck, that's what you're talking about? That's what you're talking about. But then again, the counselor side of my brain comes into play and I'm like, she's not immune to diet culture. She's not immune to these messages, and she's getting them more than all of us. Go Google her name and look at the comments on pictures of her. Like, no shit, she feels this way about her body. Look what she's ingested from the media, from comments, like, for years. So it's like, what's so disheartening is then we pull up the Alona Mar example, right? Let's bring Alona Mar back into the conversation. Let's look at what Serena's pumping out into the world and now putting in as an influencer. And now let's look what Alona Mar is saying. Alona Mar is hashtag, what is she? Hashtag beast beauty brains. She's saying you can be big, you can be beautiful, you can be strong, you can be smart. You don't have to shrink yourself to be beautiful. That's the message she's sending. Then we look at Serena, and the message that's being sent is, I have it all, and now I can shrink myself and finally be the best version of myself. Fuck that. Respectfully, fuck that. I'm not saying fuck Serena. I'm saying fuck her message. And so that's where it's so nuanced. And I could go on and on and on and on for hours here. So remember, it's not Serena's job to lead the body positivity movement, but her platform and her words are powerful. And that's where, as a mother, as a dietitian, as a certified intuitive eating counselor, as someone who I ride hard for people in all bodies, this hurts. Like, this does have impact, and it's hard. It's hard to see. And so something that I also failed to mention in my Instagram post, which again, there's like so much I wanted to get in that I did not, is this book right here. And I'm holding it up, but if you're not watching, the book is called Fearing the Black Body, The Racial Origins of Fat Phobia by Sabrina Strings. This book does an incredible job of showing the racist roots of diet culture and how, and I'm actually going to just read like an excerpt from the back. I think this would be more helpful. So Sabrina Strings weaves together an eye-opening historical narrative ranging from the Renaissance to the current moment, analyzing important works of art, newspaper and magazine articles, and scientific literature and medical journals where fat bodies were once praised, showing that fat phobia, as it relates to Black women, did not originate with medical findings, but with Enlightenment-era belief that fatness was an evidence of savagery and racial inferiority. Fearing the Black Body argues that the contemporary ideal of slenderness is at its very core racialized and racist. An important original work, it reveals that fat phobia isn't all about health at all, but rather a means of using the body to validate race, class, and gender prejudice. Sorry, I just completely butchered so many words and I was trying to read fast. But that this book shows the racist roots of diet culture and how how deeply, deeply it is ingrained. So people are coming out and hearing Serena, like they're hearing Serena's message and then they're attacking her as a person. And if you even feel that way, I want to encourage you to pause, to do a huge pause. I understand why you feel that way. I get it. And I want to encourage a pause. I would encourage reading this book, and I would encourage you to see where the racial origins of fat phobia come from. And there's just so much nuance here. So I want to encourage you to not make this like an anti-Serena slander narrative and understand that she is a human. She is not immune to diet culture. She is not immune to fat phobia, especially as somebody who has been attacked as a celebrity, as a Black woman. There is so much nuance here. And if you are listening to this, I understand how triggering this can be, especially if you are on a journey to make peace with your body, to make peace with food. This hits hard when we have women in the limelight really pumping this message of like, I'm the greatest of all time. I'm a high achiever and I'm achieving a smaller body now. And that makes me better and more worthy. I understand how hard that is. So instead of slandering Serena, instead of tearing her down, because to me, I'm like, she's already bent. Like, this is so clear how she thinks about her body. I want to just encourage you to unfollow, unsubscribe, report those ads, get them off of your FYP, get them off of your newsfeed, and follow more people like Alona Mar. Follow the people that are drilling in this message that you are enough. Just the way you are. Your body is enough, no matter what it looks like. If you are thin, if you are fat, if you are an athletic build, it is so important that as you are on your recovery journey, you are subscribing to the message that all bodies are good bodies. There is no hierarchy of body type. And that's why, like, I needed to do a podcast on this, because sure, I tried as best as I could to do a 5-minute Instagram reel on this, but you're never going to be able to get the nuance. And even now, like, I'm trying to fit this into a digestible 30-minute podcast episode, but we could simply turn this into a series of hour-long podcast episodes and do a full breakdown on the racial roots of fat phobia, do a full breakdown on, you know, like, influence versus, you know, like, your own view of yourself, right? Like, she is not... like, responsibility versus influence is what I'm trying to say here. Like, there's a difference between the two. So, I know I just ping-ponged. Like, my brain is shot. Like, I'm ping-ponging everywhere. But please know there's nuance to this conversation. Please know that I don't have all the answers. And I'm simply providing my perspective as someone who works in the eating disorder community, as someone who believes that all bodies are good bodies, and as someone that can see Serena as a human and really strip back putting her on this pedestal and recognizing how bad she is hurting and maybe has disordered views by what she is promoting. So I hope you find this helpful if you are on a mission of, you know, making peace with food and your body. I thank you for being here. Please share this episode. If you've had these conversations, you know, with your girlfriends, with your friends, with loved ones, and you know, you've seen these ads, you've seen the stuff popping up and you're like, oh my gosh, like, what am I supposed to feel? What am I supposed to think? If you related to this at all, please share this episode because I think it really needs to be heard right now. So thank you for being here. I really, really appreciate you and your time, and I look forward to chatting with you next week. Bye. Take care. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or find.food.freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast.